sparkle stories, and so many fairies. The Blunt Gnome and the Shiny Gnome. Once upon a time, deep below the surface of the earth, there was a little, bumpy, ordinary-looking cave. At first, if you happened to have a flashlight or a candle with you, you might not think much of the cave. Moist, lumpy walls, the general color of brown mustard and dusty blue-gray. A cave. Nothing special. But you see, you would be looking at the walls of this cave with a person's eyes, eyes that are not used to seeing the quiet, small, and often hidden magic of the natural world, eyes that don't notice the tiny, smiling pixies that ride the backs of snowflakes, eyes that only see the flowers in a garden and not the laughing fairies flying around them, eyes that see a squirrel climbing a tree, but not the wood elf calling from the top branches. No, people's eyes miss a lot. And they would miss a lot in this cave, to be sure. But if you were a gnome, this cave would look very different. Oh yes, a gnome, or a little rock fairy, would look at this cave like a child would look in the front window of a candy store. A gnome would not stop at the brown mustard and dusty blue-gray walls and the bumpy surface. No, a gnome would see what lies inside the walls. And what was inside the walls? Gems. Green emeralds, scarlet rubies, blue sapphires, crystal diamonds, all hidden within, sleeping under the surface, waiting to be discovered. Yes, the rock gnomes would see them, and they would be very excited indeed. Now, this little cave happened to be a space that was in between two gnome lands. Two areas that different groups of gnomes had claimed. On one side of the cave lived and worked the blunt gnomes. On the other side of the cave, there were the shiny gnomes. These two groups of gnomes remarkably did not like each other at all. No. The blunt gnomes had very strong opinions of the shiny gnomes. And the shiny gnomes had a lot of unfortunate things to say about the blunt gnomes. And the remarkable part was that these two groups of gnomes seemed to virtually everyone else in the fairy world to be exactly the same. They both had long beards. They both wore tall peaked caps. They both had strong, solid noses and able, dexterous hands. Sure, there were some subtle differences. The blunt gnomes were on average a little bigger, and many of the shiny gnomes had pointier noses, but there were also big shiny gnomes and pointy-nosed blunt gnomes. No, the biggest difference between these two groups of gnomes was their stories. They had different stories, different tales they told each other, and this made a very big difference in the way they behaved. For instance, the blunt gnomes told a very long story called The Glimmer People, about the first gnomes of the world. There was an old storyteller gnome that often told the tale during the cold winter months. "The blunt gnome," she said with her arms outstretched, "began as a little glimmer in the rock around us. The sunlight reflected down, 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 under the ground, and found a gem, and the glimmer suddenly set the rock to movement. the movement became something of a dance, and this, my dears, was the first gnome. This gnome and the other gnomes that followed were not that different from the rocks. They lived for a very long time, and stayed generally in one place. But what made them different was that they cared for the rock. They sat next to the little gems and stones and watched over them, kept them safe, almost like a shepherd with his sheep. The other blunt gnomes giggled at this image. The gnomes were charged with protecting the rocks and allowing just enough light to find the surface and make a beautiful soft glow. The blunt gnomes often sighed at this part, because they knew very well the soft glow the story spoke of. The story was the reason why they did not like to remove the gems from their surrounding rock. When a blunt gnome found a gem hidden in rock, they tapped and brushed away only the littlest bit of the rock to reveal the gem. They did not believe in cutting or even polishing the surface of the gem. No, they thought the gem was perfect in its natural state, and that the dim light that came from its surface was the most beautiful kind of light. Now, this was very different from the shiny gnomes, as you might imagine. The shiny gnomes felt almost the opposite. They believed that gems were most beautiful when cut and polished into precious stones. They believed that one could not truly appreciate a ruby until it was shaped and polished to take light and spread it brightly and magically out. This belief came from their stories, especially the story called The Light in the Stone. This old story was often told as a drama with big, bold gestures and bright, expressive faces. Shiny gnomes, young and old, told the story and loved telling it. "First was the light," the storyteller began. "And the light found the rock, and the rock was so very pleased, it gave the light a gift. It gave the light the shiny gnomes." There was always cheering during this part. "And from that day on," said the storyteller toward the end of the story, "shiny gnomes prepared and polished the rocks for the light. They made ready the rocks as a gift to the light." It was a fun story, and the shiny gnomes loved to dance and shout out parts as it was being told. Because of this story, the shiny gnomes liked to remove gems from the surrounding rock and cut them into beautiful shapes. They polished and polished them until they were clear and clean, and then they shined fairy light on them. This was a very big moment for the shiny gnomes when they saw the gems shine brightly for the first time. Well, needless to say, the blunt gnomes thought the shiny gnomes were doing something very wrong when they pulled gems out of the surrounding rock and then cut and polished them. They thought that the shiny gnomes were actually changing the rocks, and that was certainly not protecting them. The shiny gnomes, for their part, thought that the blunt gnomes were almost ignoring the rocks and not allowing them to shine as they were intended to. They saw all that potential wasted, and they shook their heads at the blunt gnomes' preference of dim light. They couldn't understand that at all. Which leads us to the cave. The brown, mustard, and dusty blue cave that was filled with hidden gems. The cave, that was in between the two domains, in between the blunt gnomes and the shiny gnomes, the cave that would soon be the spot where the two groups would collide. It happened like this. There was a young blunt gnome named Gnath, who followed a little fissure in a rock all the way to the in-between space and eventually the cave. When Gnath arrived, he saw another young gnome was already there, a shiny gnome named Lonrach. At first, Gnath thought Lonrach was another blunt gnome, and he called out, "What have you found?" But as soon as the surprised Lonrach turned around, Gnath could see the pointy nose and the tight eyes and the blue rather than red peaked cap, and he knew that he was now face to face with a shiny gnome. They were silent for a long while as they looked at each other and considered what to do. Neither of them had ever seen a gnome from the other side before. Gnath had heard that shiny gnomes were loud and greedy and mean and always tried to trick you. Lonrach had heard that blunt gnomes were rash and angry and could strike out suddenly. They stared at each other, looking to see these qualities in the other. Finally, Lonrach said, "This is shiny property. These gems are ours." Gnath quickly changed from curious to angry and replied, "They are not. This is blunt land. You leave them be." Lonrach faced Gnath and the two frowned and puffed themselves up to seem as strong and intimidating as possible. They stood like this for a long time until Lonrach said, "Well, I'm going to get the others, and then we are going to harvest these gems and help them shine."
"Oh, no, you won't," answered Gnath. "No greedy shiny gnomes are going to hurt these gems. I'll get the others, and you'll see."
Then the two gnomes turned and quickly ran back to their communities to share what just happened. Lonrach told the shiny gnomes, who quickly gathered all their tools and prepared to go. Gnath told the blunt gnomes, who flexed their fingers and prepared to defend the gems. Lonrach and Gnath then led the two parties through the fissures and gaps all the way to the cave, which was quickly and thoroughly filled with angry gnomes. No words were spoken at first. The two groups just looked at each other with deep frowns and angry eyes. The shiny gnomes looked at the blunt gnomes and only saw big brutes who didn't understand the true mission of gems. And the blunt gnomes looked at the shiny gnomes and only saw pompous braggarts looking out for themselves. They couldn't see anything else, and the anger and even hatred increased. Names were called.
"Noisy thieves," called some of the blunt gnomes. "Foolish buffoons," called some of the shiny gnomes.
And then something remarkable happened. Quite suddenly, something, or rather someone, slipped through a little crack in the top of the cave and fell with a splat onto the ground between the two groups. I say splat because the being that fell was a water nymph, or a fairy, and she fell splat because that's what water nymphs do. When she gathered herself up, she looked one way and then the other, and with an apologetic expression said,
"I'm so sorry to arrive unannounced. I know how gnomes do not like to be surprised," she said, pulling herself into a little bluish ball. "But I was only following a droplet, a beautiful droplet. I followed deeper and deeper and just slipped." and here I am."
She smiled, hoping that the gnomes would smile too, but they did not. They were silent and clearly upset.
"Well, I can see that I've interrupted something important. A gnome festival, perhaps? Are you about to have a festival of lights?"
"Festival of lights?"
repeated the leader of the blunt gnomes with something of a scoff.
"These shiny gnomes think a festival of lights means making the brightest light possible."
"And you blunt gnomes," retorted a shiny gnome, "think the festival of lights is barely any light at all. That isn't a festival."
The little water nymph was confused. She looked one direction and then the other.
"What is a shiny gnome?"
"They are,"
answered the leader of the blunt gnomes, pointing at the shiny gnomes.
"Can't you tell? See their beady little eyes and spindly fingers and fancy polished shoes?"
The little water nymph looked at the shiny gnomes and then back at the blunt gnomes.
"But then what are you?" she asked.
"Blunt gnomes, of course,"
shouted the leader of the shiny gnomes, waving his arms and widening his eyes.
"Can't you tell by their thick necks and dirty feet and mumbling voices, mumble, 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 mumble?"
The little water nymph looked at the blunt gnomes and cocked her head.
"I'm sorry," she said, with a breath in. "You don't look very different to me. What I know about rock gnomes are that you have light festivals. I have heard that they are very beautiful, and I had hoped to one day see a true festival of lights myself."
This was surprising to both the blunt gnomes and the shiny gnomes, and for a moment they focused on the nymph rather than on each other.
"We can show you a festival of lights," said one of the blunt gnomes after a moment.
"Yours are too dim," said one of the shiny gnomes. "We will show you a festival of lights."
"Too bright," said one of the blunt gnomes. "She won't be able to see all that light."
There was lots of back and forth and more frowns until the little water nymph spoke again.
"I'd like to see both," she said,
loud enough for both groups to hear. When they were quiet, she continued.
"I wonder what would happen with both kinds of light, a little bit of bright and a little bit of dim together."
Again, the two groups of gnomes were surprised and taken aback. Both? Together? That was absurd, they all thought. Clearly, the little nymph knew nothing about fairy light and gems. The older gnomes were about to explain this to her when Gnath, the young blunt gnome, stepped forward.
"We've never tried both before," he said softly. "I wonder what it would look like."
"Yes,"
said Lonrach, the young shiny gnome.
"Since this cave is in between, maybe we can try both and see if it's pretty."
"What?" said an elder blunt gnome. "Their light is like noise. How can the nymph appreciate our soothing light with all their blinding brightness?"
"Yes, our light is too beautiful, too strong, too wonderful," called an elder shiny gnome, swooping his arms this way and that. "Why would she want to see your light, if you want to call it that?"
There was more arguing, and the two groups seemed to get very upset again until the water nymph said,
"Would you try?"
This quieted them again. They looked at her and then at each other. It was true that this cave was in between the two lands, and if they were going to even try something like this, it would be here. But again, the young gnomes stepped forward.
"I'll try,"
said Gnath with something of a smile.
"Yes, me too," said Lonrach. "I'd like to see what it looks like."
"Some dim light,"
said Gnath in his quiet voice.
"Yes,"
said Lonrach, letting his arms rise up.
"And some bright."
Then the two groups marveled as Gnath and Lonrach, without consulting the elders, set to work. The blunt gnomes and the shiny gnomes both considered calling Gnath and Lonrach back to their side, but then they watched as Gnath carefully chiseled and lightly brushed an area over a red ruby. They also saw Lonrach cut around a green emerald and then began to polish it. They saw the water nymph smile at what she was seeing, and one by one the older gnomes became curious as well. They could see the difference between the two gems, and the blunt gnomes had to admit that the polished gem was not as bright as they thought. The shiny gnomes, for their part, had to admit that the dim light of Gnath's ruby was rather soothing. One by one, they joined the two young gnomes at their work. They each kept to their own area, with most of the blunt gnomes on one side and most of the shiny gnomes on the other. Occasionally, a blunt or shiny gnome would find themselves working on the other side and then move back. But they found that the different light wasn't so bad to be around. It was actually nice in its own way. They chiseled and cut and brushed and polished while the little water nymph looked on with wide eyes. What she saw was more beautiful than she had ever imagined. It was like looking inside a grain of sand or maybe up close at a star. The glimmer and sparkle and shimmer and glow of the different lights was like a banquet, a feast, a festival of lights. Finally, after a long time working side by side on the surface of the entire cave, they pulled away from the edge and looked around. Glowing rubies on one side and sparkling rubies on the other. Shimmering sapphires across from dim sapphires, brilliant diamonds and gleaming diamonds here and there, and even a few mixed side by side. So many different gems, shining in so many different ways. And all the gnomes had to admit that it was much lovelier than they had imagined. Well, almost all the gnomes.
"I can't see our work," called one of the older blunt gnomes. "My eyes have to shut out all that shiny nonsense."
"Such a waste,"
called one of the older shiny gnomes, pointing to the work of the blunt gnomes.
"Look at all those gems barely touched."
But this time, the other gnomes didn't join in. Instead, they continued to marvel at this new kind of festival of lights, this festival of different kinds of lights, all in the same cave. And then after a while, the gnomes all looked toward the water nymph, and they were surprised to see both Gnath and Lonrach standing on either side of her. It was curious to see a blunt gnome and a shiny gnome so close to each other. And more than that, it was the look on their faces. As Gnath looked at Lonrach and Lonrach looked at Gnath, they were both smiling. And then the blunt gnomes looked at the shiny gnomes. They saw their pointier noses and their longer fingers and even the expressions in their eyes, and this time they did not feel angry or resentful. No, this time they felt more curiosity. They wondered what it was like to be a shiny gnome and to wave their arms around and speak so grandly and bathe themselves in light. The shiny gnomes looked at the blunt gnomes' big, dirty feet and wide, strong shoulders and dark, bland clothing and no longer felt superior. No, they were interested. They wondered how the blunt gnomes felt when they worked on gems and wondered what stories they told to their young. And yes, there were a number of blunt gnomes that didn't like the bright light of the shiny gnomes. And indeed, there were a number of shiny gnomes that continued to think the blunt gnomes were foolish. But most of them, agreed with what the water nymph saw. She saw only light. Bright, dim, sparkling, glowing, shimmering, and beautiful light.
This has been an original story by Sparkle Stories of sparklestories.com. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. We hope you enjoyed it.